for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings, friends, and thank you for joining us again today. I'm John Lawrence, your host. I have our special guests returning today, Brother Alan Lord, our Global Outreach Director here at IBJM, and then Igor Shaposhnikov, a Jewish believer who is now taking on a full-time ministry with IBJM. And we were talking with them yesterday about their special relationship in that Alan went to the Ukraine to preach and evangelize and particularly to reach Jewish people. And the first day or two he was out on the streets, he met Igor and led Igor to the Lord. And Igor was sharing some memories about that day when he met Jesus as his Messiah, as his own personal Savior. And that's a wonderful day for anybody, whether Jew or Gentile. But we want to continue this conversation today. And I'll turn to you again, Alan. First, how does it make you feel as a missionary to not only that you led a young Jewish man to the Lord, which of course is our purpose here, to reach Jewish people with the gospel, but also through the years to have mentored Igor to grow into a full-time servant of the Lord, and now he's coming here with us in the ministry of the gospel.
Well, you kind of feel like the Apostle John when he wrote in 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to find that my children walk in truth, and to see someone that the Lord has placed in your way, came to know Christ through your ministry, and now to see him grow and mature. Igor actually became a Christian businessman. He did come to France, where my wife and I were missionaries. He did some time at a Bible Institute there. Then he went back to the Ukraine and became a Christian businessman, opened a card shop, and became very involved in his home church. So it's wonderful to see. It's not me. It had nothing to do with me. It's all of the Lord. It's all of God. But to see how the Lord has used that relationship, I thank the Lord for it.
Amen. And Igor, you were a Christian businessman working in your local church, but now the Lord has led you a step further into full-time ministry. Tell us, how did that come to pass?
Well, it's a good question. I felt in my heart that the business, which I was pretty successful in, didn't really hold my heart anymore. I really wanted to lay up riches in heaven, not on this earth. So this is how, you know, God showed me the need in my church for certain ministries, and he has given me, he has blessed me with different gifts that I wanted to use for his glory. So this is how I came to the conclusion in my heart that God is calling me to the more devoted, consecrated ministry.
Amen. So you've come here now. I know, Igor, that you're here to plan some meetings. You and Alan are having some meetings together. I heard you talking about this Sunday, right? You're going to a church, and you're going to share your ministry and what you have as a vision for the ministry in Kharkov there in the Ukraine. And, of course, Igor's going to come back in the spring or next year sometime, right?
Yes, as the Lord opens the door for that.
And so the Lord needs to open some doors, right?
Amen.
In churches, we need people to support Igor, churches to support Igor. Well, tell us, how can pastors who are listening help you, Igor?
Well, I would love to be in any church that would want to invite me. I would like to express gratitude to all American Christians for their desire to follow the Lord's command to spread the gospel, which really made a great difference in Ukraine when all the missionaries came and brought not only the American culture, but what really brought, they brought the gospel, the good news, the love of Christ. So I would like to share this with your people, and I would like to share my plans on how I see the Jewish ministries in my life, in, through my church, through my local church, through other local churches, because many churches in Ukraine, they don't really know that you need to evangelize Jews. They don't really know that Jewish people think that Christians are hostile to them. So we need to, I think, educate churches on Jewish evangelism.
Amen. Thank you both for coming in today. You know, Igor is special to me, too, because shortly after he was saved, Alan mentioned it for a minute there, Alan brought him to France, and he came to study at our Bible Institute, the Bible Institute where I worked in those days. And what a privilege it is, you know, Alan, just to share that, to train young nationals, whoever they are, for the gospel ministry, whether they're Frenchmen or we had some Africans there, or whether it's even Igor coming from Eastern Europe to come there, and to train them for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
It's a great thing. God has used many of those young people, in France and elsewhere, around the world in wonderful ways. So if you would like to have Igor visit your church, call us at 423-876-8150. And Alan can perhaps plug you in then to Igor's schedule when he comes back sometime next year for further meetings. So pray for Igor, pray for his ministry in the Ukraine, and pray that he will be able to quickly have the support that he needs to undertake an important ministry there in his home country, the country of Ukraine. Now let's listen to Jewish believer Brother Mark Oshman as he comes with today's Bible study.
Thank you for listening to our radio program. We begin a two-part study of the prophetic book of Zechariah. Today will be the first part of that study. The Old Testament records the deeds of a number of men named Zechariah. However, most of them lived in an era before the Babylonian captivity. The author of this book flourished after the exile and return of the Jews from Babylon, as indicated by the book of Ezra. Zechariah referred to himself as the son of Berechiah. Perhaps he might be the same individual who Jesus Christ identified as Zacharias, son of Barachias, in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. If so, the prophet Zechariah's contemporaries killed him, an event otherwise unrecorded in the Old Testament. However, the Zacharias to whom Jesus Christ referred could also be the son of Jehoiada, the high priest. That particular man named Zechariah was murdered by the order of Joash, king of Judah, in the court of the house of the Lord, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. The book of Zechariah consisted of a number of visions that God gave to the prophet. Many of these revelations foreshadowed events that would take place during the end times. Though a large proportion of the book pertained to the Jewish nation, some verses related to the judgments on the pagan nations that would fall. Zechariah's first vision occurred in the second year of Darius, the Medo-Persian king. God prefaced this vision by exhorting the Jewish people, quote, "Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you." He cautioned them against imitating the attitude of their ancestors, who rejected his word. Though their ancestors had died, as did the former prophets, God's word and his statutes still existed. Zechariah saw a man riding a red horse. Behind him were other horses, speckled and white. God sent these creatures to traverse the earth. They reported that it was at rest. The angel who spoke with Zechariah asked God whether he would continue to manifest his indignation against the Jewish people. God replied with what Zechariah described as good words and comfortable words. The heathen nations who intensified the Jewish sufferings had deeply displeased God. He will return to Jerusalem with his mercies. As he said, quote, "The Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem," unquote. In another vision, the prophet beheld four horns and four men known as carpenters. Horns in the Bible denoted nobility or power. In Psalm 132, for example, God declared that he will make the horn of David to bud, that is, cause the power of David and his kingdom to increase. In the context of Zechariah's prophecy, these horns represented the Gentile powers that scattered the Jews. The carpenters mentioned in this vision will weaken these nations. Some commentators have posited that such people as Cyrus the Mede and Alexander the Great were depicted by the four chariots mentioned in Zechariah chapter 6. In his third vision, Zechariah beheld a man with a line for measuring Jerusalem. Though that city might not have protection from its enemies, God himself will watch over them. He reassured them that, quote, "He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye," unquote. Zechariah later had a fourth vision. God showed the prophet a scene depicting Joshua, who was the high priest at that time. Joshua was in a judicial setting, with Satan resisting him. God rebuked the devil. At Zechariah's behest, God removed Joshua's dirty garments and replaced them with clean clothing. This high priest foreshadowed the advent of one known as "My servant the branch," a clear reference to Jesus Christ as a Messiah. The fifth vision of Zechariah dealt with a golden candlestick and two trees. The The former item might have reminded the prophet about the candlestick built for the tabernacle, as described in the 25th chapter of Exodus. However, the lamp that Zechariah saw needed no external source of sustenance. God's statement about Zerubbabel in Zechariah chapter 4 hinted that no human being could resist God's will. God exclaimed, quote, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it," unquote. He added this affirmation, quote, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts," unquote. Zerubbabel will perform his designated role. Zechariah then beheld two trees. They were described as anointed ones that stand by God. The title anointed one literally meant sons of oil in the Hebrew language. This idiom implied that these figures might have served a function similar to that of the priests who supplied oil to the candlestick in the tabernacle. Perhaps God intended to designate Joshua and Zerubbabel as his representatives in fulfilling his will. The prophet beheld a flying scroll. This document symbolized God's curse on those who practiced theft and gave false witness. God declared that the effects of this malediction would consume the houses of those transgressors. This decree reiterated something that God had already told the Jewish people in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Quote, "If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee," unquote. Zechariah also saw an ephah going forth from God. An ephah could denote either a quantity of measurement or, in this case, the basket that held that. In the midst of the ephah, Zechariah saw a lead weight and a woman. God spoke of the woman as wickedness. He cast the woman into the ephah, using the lead as a covering. This wickedness might represent the evildoers among the Jews. If so, the scene depicted how God dealt with sinners among his people. Just as God singled out Achan for punishment in Joshua chapter 7, so he would put away the wicked from amongst the midst of his chosen remnant. The prophet viewed two women having the wings of a stork. They took the ephah and borne it to the land of Shinar, where God would establish it. Shinar, as indicated in Genesis 10, was an area near Babylon. Zechariah saw four chariots emerging from between two mountains of brass. The horses pulling these conveyances had red, black, white, and spotted colors, respectively. They depicted the four spirits who stood before God, which he sent to different parts of the earth. Notice the similarity between the horses in Zechariah's vision and the horses depicted in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. The black and white horses went to the north, where they quieted God's spirit in those lands. Perhaps this reference alluded to God putting an end to the judgments he visited on Assyria and Babylon, Israel's primary northern oppressors. Alternatively, this passage could have alluded to God's future defeat of the confederacy that would be led by Gog, an event described in the 38th and 39th chapters of the book of Ezekiel. God told Zechariah to gather certain men among the returning exiles. They witnessed the high priest receiving silver and gold crowns. God declared, quote, "Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord," unquote. God directed that these men place the crowns in the temple as a memorial. The person God spoke about will serve as a priest and a king. Jesus Christ fulfilled the former role, as noted by the author of Hebrews. Furthermore, he will receive the kingdoms of this earth, as stated in the 11th chapter of Revelation. We've come to the end of the first portion of our two-part study on the book of Zechariah. Please come back for the next segment of this Bible study.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.